We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Report, a RotoViz radio news show covering the serious and mocking the ridiculous NFL news of the last week. I'm Blair Andrews. My co-host, as always, except for last week, is Hassan Rahim. Hassan, how's it going?
Blair, living the dream. Weather's changing. It's getting colder. Week 7, where you can't believe it, man. Seven weeks through the books.
I know, it's flying. It's crazy. Yeah, we don't have a guest this week to discuss how quick the season is going, but that's all right. We can hop right into the news. First item, someone we were hoping would finally catch fire, Juju Smith-Schuster, caught 9 of 13 targets for 85 yards in the Steelers' Week 7 win over the Titans. Juju had been seeing his target share decline and had been held under 50 yards in 4 straight games, but he was trending as sort of a low-ceiling, low-floor option, and today's game underscored how important he is to the Steelers. So what are your thoughts on Juju and the Steelers' receiving core going forward?
Yeah, so this was actually interesting. One of the big issues here that with Juju, you know, like we're still not seeing the touchdowns. We're not seeing the consistent usage. This was really good. Unfortunately, Deontay Johnson, I believe he got hurt again. He did a lot of the damage, right? He scored most of the touchdowns, 3 of them, and, you know, had a really, really big day. Chase Claypool was kind of quiet. But it is good to see Juju getting some usage. What is kind of frustrating is Ben seems to be jamming the ball to Ebron and stuff in the corners. Ebron also had a pretty impressive day himself. For just a fill-in tight end, he, you know, caught 8 of his 6 targets for 50 yards. What's interesting when you're watching this team is that even though Ben attempted like 49 passes, he's averaging like 5.5 like a yards per attempt. Like he's just, it seems like he knows that his arm isn't like able to, you know, support these like deep long heaves all the time, right? And so he's okay with like dumping it down short, letting playmakers make plays. So it's interesting watching this, a little bit of a change here. Some really smart quarterback play from Ben today, I thought, and like a good usage of Juju, who had like, you know, almost had the team high in 14 targets. I don't know, right? Like the issue with Juju is, even though we didn't see Deontay, we saw them like, you know, feeding Chase Claypool, who only saw the one target today, which was unfortunate. Question is what happens next week and if it's, you know, it's going to be a big James Washington week or not. But like, I think that he is a fairly integral part of the offense, and I'm hoping that maybe it was an injury related stuff that he was kind of limping around and everything. You know, it's I would still be plugging him into my lineup. I've been plugging him into any lineup where I own him every week and sort of hoping and then being disappointed. So it's good to see this, but hopefully, you know, he can continues to get this kind of usage and we see, you know, the touchdowns eventually follow. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm definitely optimistic. I mean, I think, like you said, it was pretty weird to see, you know, this team have this much volume and still produce so little. You know, even on 14 targets, Juju could only get 85 yards. Deontay Johnson had 80 on 15 targets. I mean, you kind of mentioned how inefficient Ben was today. So, I mean, that's something that you normally wouldn't think of as being a concern for this offense, that they can't necessarily, you know, they can't put up points even on low volume. So, yeah, there are some concerns, I think, yeah, with a lot of aspects of this offense. And that's kind of a weird thing to say about a team that is now 6-0. But, you know, I think Juju showed that he is an important piece of this offense. And even though he was outscored by Deontay again, I think in future weeks we could see the touchdowns go his way. What are your thoughts on Chase Claypool being completely phased out of the passing game, really?
Yeah, so I'm really not so sure, right? Like, they just seem to have, like, so many people. Like, it seems like they made, like, a point to feature Ebron, Juju, and Deontay this game, right? They just have so many weapons that they can kind of just do. Like, they can literally use a hot hand approach at wide receiver, mm-hmm. as weird as it sounds, right? Like, basically, mm-hmm. who's getting the matchups, who's getting open, who's able to go through his defender and just make plays, right? And, I mean, Chase Claypool is a mensch, man. Like, the guy is just, like, massive, right? Like, he's just a beast. So I'm kind of interested and a little excited to see what happens. I think, you know, if Deontay's, again, forced to miss a handful of games, like, you should be plugging Chase Claypool back in, right? Like, he's just going to be smashing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, you know, when you see that Pittsburgh threw the ball 49 times and Claypool only had one target, like that is something that you want to kind of take a second look at, especially when, you know, after Deontay was hurt. So I think you still plug Claypool in, but it's, you know, I don't know how much to take away from this game, but it's definitely a little bit, that's concerning too, that he wasn't a bigger part of this offense when there was so much volume going around to other guys. And maybe it's like you said, it's just a hot hand, but, you know, for guys that you are potentially talking about as, you know, being one of the top rookies this season, you'd like to see them get targets every game.
Yeah, but I mean, like, think of it this way, right? Like, with Juju and Deontay splitting about, like, you know, 60-ish%, maybe a little bit more of the targets, and with Ebron taking away a good chunk as well, it didn't really doesn't leave much over. But, like, if Deontay misses games, that frees up, like, 15 targets. That's a lot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Antonio Gibson rushed 20 times for 128 yards and a touchdown in Washington's Week 7 win against the Cowboys. Gibson ran through gaping holes in Dallas' defensive lines early in the game, you know, and he showed off his speed-power combo and on a handful of impressive runs, but he didn't see any usage in the receiving game. What are your thoughts on Gibson and the rest of the Washington backfield?
I'm a little bit intrigued by Gibson after this performance, but kind of like you said, it's weird that he didn't see any work in the receiving game. With this is someone who, you know, played receiver at Memphis and is coming in with that being basically the strongest part of his game. He's still being out targeted by J.D. McKissic. But I mean, how many games are we going to see Washington win 25-3, you know? This is something that I think is not going to be a regular occurrence in Washington's schedule, in their upcoming schedule. I mean, Dallas just looks totally, completely lost. I don't know what's going on. They obviously have a lot of injuries on the offensive line, and, you know, Dalton got hurt again today. So it was nice to see, you know, Gibson be able to put up some points in a game where they could afford to use him a lot. But I don't necessarily think that he's going to be featured this much, especially if he's not their primary pass-catching back. So, you know, Sean and I started J.D. McKissic again in our main event team, which feels gross, and he didn't do that well, but he's been pretty solid for us, which is, I don't know, I mean, I never would have thought, never would have envisioned myself saying those words before the season started, or even, I don't know, 4 weeks ago, so it's wild.
I'm sorry, I kind of miswrote the blurb. Antonio Gibson had one target and he failed to catch it. And to your point about J.D. McKissic being solid, we should let our listeners know that you guys are really looking for like 5 points from your running backs, like, because of how sick your like wide receivers are. And that's kind of what you've been getting. That's what you mean by solid, right?
Right, solid. No, he wasn't solid today. I think last week he had like 14 points. But, I mean, yeah, this week he had 7, which makes him almost our highest scoring running back. He was just barely outscored by Jermichael Hasty, who had 8 on our bench. And yeah, we're rolling out AJ Dillon, getting 1.1 points, and still winning our matchup with our wide receivers. So it's all good.
Yeah, no, okay, that's huge. Congrats, AJ Dillon. Kind of sucks, but I could have told you that if you'd actually asked me, I would have told you. But yeah, so like the interesting thing you brought up earlier in this convo was about Gibson being a game flow dependent, and I think some of it just has to do with the fact that I mean, like you said, like it really just kind of is like the blowout factor here a little bit. There's a really dirty hit on Dalton, and I mean, like the Dallas offense with Dalton on the center is absolutely pathetic. It's putrid. Like he shouldn't have even gotten a contract. Like he should have been washed out of the league, frankly. But that's really the kind of play that he was giving you prior to getting hurt. The hit on him was nasty, and I really, really, really don't think there's any place for that in the game. But like, you know, from Gibson's perspective, we've seen him get like a bunch of targets. We know he's explosive. Now it's just a matter of putting it all together, right? Like at least one of these guys in like the Gibson or the Bowden of mold kind of hit.
Yeah.
But before we get into our game, rookie breakout or fake out, a quick word from our sponsors. Indeed, you know, even though sports had a break, your business, it didn't. You have to keep moving, and that means hiring more important than ever, and Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire, with 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month. Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is the best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st.
All right, let's get into our game, rookie breakout or fake out. First item up, Harrison Bryant caught 4 of 5 targets for 56 yards and 2 touchdowns in the Browns' Week 7 win over the Bengals.
Yeah, this is interesting. I'm actually, so like the rules again, just to remind everyone, so this is for like tight end, it would probably actually be top 12. And for wide receiver and running back, it's top 24 respectively. So a TE1 or low end TE1 or a low end RB2 or wide receiver 2 respectively. And I think I'm going to break out, man.
Ooh.
He looks good, dude. He looks good. OBJ, the Browns are fearing that knee injury is serious. I mean, Odell like did it to himself. I mean, it's sad to say, like if you guys were watching the game, I think it's a real bummer.
On an interception return, right?
Yeah,
I didn't see it. But
I think he was also the cause of the interception, but I only read about like the actual injury. I didn't see it.
Yeah,
but I mean, Harrison Bryant looked really good, right? So David Njoku, he started ahead of David Njoku, who, remember back in the day when like OJ Howard and Njoku and Engram were coming out, then after their rookie years, people were like, oh, the batting tight end, it's going to be the revolution. You know, the offense is going to flow through all three of these guys. They're going to be so good. No, they suck. They're so bad. And I feel really bad because OJ Howard tore his Achilles, but Njoku is a proven kind of bust, and so is Engram, right? Like, Engram had the one big rookie year, and, like, maybe he's dealing with injuries, right?
Yeah.
But, like, these guys are no different than, like, any of the other guys you can find off of waivers, frankly, right? And, like, Harrison Bryant should be rostered if you have the space. And realistically, all that drives DE scoring is volume and injuries to wide receivers, or, like, capable wide receivers. The gap left in OBJ's absence is huge. And I think Harrison Bryant has earned a bigger role. And again, like the threshold for clearing TE12 or whatever at the end of the season is pretty low. So I'm fairly optimistic on Bryant here. So that's why I'm going with breakout.
Yeah, I can actually see that, if only because Bryant is someone that this team was getting snaps and even targets as early as week one. Like, they've had him as part of their plans from basically the beginning. So I think it is not that surprising that he started over Njoku today, especially, you know, there were, I think, rumors that Njoku had requested a trade, although he denied them. But I think it's not a surprise, and I think that we might see a lot more of him going forward.
Yeah, he was a really popular DFS play that I wasn't on, unfortunately, and kudos to everyone who played him because you earned the W there.
No, not necessarily.
I mean, come on, this was great. But yeah, so I mean, even if Njoku demands a trade, like what are the Browns getting back? Clearly nowhere near what they could just get from with him, right? Like, what, like a conditional fourth, maybe a fifth?
Yeah, I have no idea.
DeAndre Swift rushed 9 times for 27 yards and a touchdown in the Lions' Week 7 win over the Falcons. He also caught 4 of 5 targets for 21 yards.
I'm definitely going breakout for DeAndre Swift. He's, you know, the main feature back on our quad-managed squad, keeping us in the hunt, really. I mean, it's a legitimate question at this point, right, whether he should have been the first running back taken, right?
Yes, I mean, I agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, Taylor has actually been okay. I think that offense is really bad. Edwards-Helaire was not that great today, as I recall, although I didn't catch the end of that one. But yeah, I think DeAndre Swift is showing that even without a humongous workload, he's able to be really effective. And if at some point they start giving him more high-value touches, stop giving the ball to Peterson quite as much, then we could really be looking at even more than what we're calling a breakout. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm with you. So, like, I did a drop-in spot on the RotoViz Overtime pod, and I spoke a little bit about Swift, and I was talking about where you might want to take him in Dynasty. Just in like startups or even in this rookie draft, right? There's like Pat Crane and I were messaging, like, there's a case for him to even be considered as a dino, like the rookie 101. And there's a case to take like a Jefferson and Lamb, like 102, 103. And then the rest of the running backs and like probably, you know, who cares about Akers and stuff, right? One of the bigger selling points for Jonathan Taylor this offseason was like the offensive line, which is just like, okay, this is tremendous analysis. I really wanted to learn more about Quentin Nelson. And so, you know, we had like a whole lot of people like slobbering over themselves to praise the offensive line for the Colts. And Jonathan Taylor looks nothing more like current day Melvin Gordon, or maybe even a worse version of current day Melvin, right? So that's what he looks like to me when he plays. Like maybe I'm just biased or whatever. And I am a Jonathan Taylor fan. I think one of the things working against Swift a little bit is that Patricia is an idiot. This guy is just stubborn and obstinate in his beliefs. We know the Atlanta Falcons themselves, the defense is very good at stopping the run. And this game stayed very close towards the end. I mean, Detroit squeaked out a win, but he was like in neutral strip. This guy was running Adrian Peterson up the gut only to watch him lose 2 yards each time. It was just pathetic. He didn't play with a will to win. At the very least, the only thing I'm going to give him credit for is recognizing that like Swift's best capability is his pass catching role. Like he's been seeing 4 to 5 targets a game.
Yeah.
You know, and this is despite dropping the game winner in week one, which like that's, you know, good for a rookie who essentially lost them like the first game that they played against division rival Chicago Bears.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, it's especially nice to see when you compare him to someone who he was going around in rookie drafts and in drafts this offseason in Cam Akers, and seeing his team actually like trust him with a well-defined role, even though you might hope that it grows a little bit. Although in, you know, by the same token, you might prefer that Patricia gives Peterson those meaningless rushing carries between the 20s. So,
hey, I'm with you.
Bad.
Yeah, nah, man. I mean, I'm with you on that, right? Like, I really don't care. I mean, like, the thing with Swift is he's just like exhibited burst, right? Like we've seen him just like find daylight and like take it to the house. Like he can break off chunk runs, right? Like the fact that he didn't get anything going today on the ground is because the Falcons, as we know, are designed to set up the run. They just bleed volume to receivers. Like it's a really backwards NFL offense, frankly. And any team that has a good passing offense, you know, puts up points on them, as we've seen, you know, with them losing to the Cowboys, the Seahawks, the Packers, the Panthers, the Vikings also, like, you know, came close to it, right? Like so. You know, like, I'm not too dismayed about Swift. I was, like, I'm a bit dismayed that he didn't break off a couple of long ones, but, like, it's neither here nor there when you're getting, like, when you're catching 4 balls a game, right? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Joe Burrow completed 35 of 47 passes for 406 yards, 3 touchdowns, and an interception in the Bengals' Week 7 loss to the Browns, adding 6 carries for 34 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, this is a clear breakout, right? Like, he's going to end the season as a QB1, right? Like and this is also, that's also the criteria for quarterbacks, right? As a QB1. So I think Burrow is going to finish the season as a QB1. I want to check and see where he's currently ranked in total season rankings. So
yeah,
give me a quick second while I pull that up really quick. But I mean, I'm just here for the breakout. I believe that like he's a very, very good quarterback, and we're seeing it.
It looks like going into the season, or not to the season, going into the week, he was, no, that doesn't make sense.
What doesn't make sense? What did you pull up?
Oh, I didn't see his name. Here we go. He hasn't been that efficient.
Yeah. No, he's fairly inefficient. Sorry?
I don't know. He's like QB 18 or something, it looks like, going into this game.
Yeah, so
that doesn't count. That doesn't count the game he just had.
Yeah, so I'm looking at today's game. He's currently ranked out here as like a quarterback 11. Not bad. And like and that's including Kyler, who's still playing, Russell, who's still playing, Goff, who's got yet to play, and Nick Foles, who's yet to play, right? So like, he's on the QB1 cusp, right? Like all that kind of matters.
Right. And I mean, if you look at the season rankings today, you see Prescott still ahead of him, Fitzpatrick still ahead of him, so he's obviously gonna move up the ranks a little bit.
Yeah, and some of it just comes with, like you said, he's been largely inefficient.
Yeah.
But he also hasn't, you know, really faced a bunch of easy offenses, and some of it just comes down to a little bit of just play calling, right? So like Chargers, Browns, Eagles, Jaguars, Ravens, Colts, Browns, right? Like at Colts he did well. He got completely destroyed versus the Ravens, but you know he's gone over 300 yards passing in all but 2 games, and that one of those was the Ravens and one of those was the season debut against the Chargers. and he did really well against the Browns today, right? So, I mean, like, all things considered, he's doing particularly well. I think he's going to definitely end the season as, like, a, you know, QB, anywhere in that QB 10 to QB 12 range. What's interesting is, outside, you know, like, he's not as close to Mahomes or Kyler as you'd like in terms of points per game, but, like, he's getting up there, right? Like, he's averaging, let's see here, after this game, he's averaging about 16.2. Sorry, 19.1. So he's could be 15 in points per game, the same as Matt Ryan. So a little bit of work can be done here.
I think he can get there. You know, if the efficient comes back into kind of what we expect, then you're definitely looking at someone who would be a top 12 QB based on his opportunity. So, yeah.
Denzel Mims got 4 of 7 targets for 42 yards in the Jets' Week 7 loss against Buffalo.
All right, so we're talking wide receiver 2. I'm gonna say breakout.
That's a little aggressive. I think wide receiver, like, well, sorry, for like wide receiver, we could use 30. I mean, like, he could end as a wide receiver 36, despite how much he's missed, right?
He could, yeah. I mean, what was interesting is that he led the team in targets. I mean, it's the Jets, so you don't necessarily expect much. He led the team in targets. He was targeted once in the end zone, at least once. He did okay with his targets, but I mean, if we get into games where the Jets have to throw more or are able to throw more, then you could see him, you know, getting double-digit targets a lot of games, and he's the sort of player, I think, who you'd normally expect to be explosive and turn those targets into touchdowns. So maybe on a per game basis going forward, he could be a top 24 wide receiver from this point. You know, obviously it helped that Crowder was out today, but still, I think you see him getting more targets going forward, and guys like Braxton Berrios getting fewer targets.
Yeah, but like, doesn't Berrios play the same slot role as like Crowder? And leaving Mims as like the outside guy, so like I can see them coexisting. I can't see a reason for Braxton Berrios existing anymore.
That's what I'm saying. If, you know, when Crowder comes back, that doesn't affect Mims so much, but it probably pushes Berrios out of the, you know, off the field a lot of the time. So I'm bullish on Mims even after Crowder returns, right?
Yeah, same. Yeah. I'm definitely with you. I think it's really impressive because this is his first game off of IR.
Yeah.
And we kind of know, I mean, even though the Bills aren't particularly, like, they're in a, you know, a little bit of free fall here, kind of in not doing as well as you'd hoped. But, you know, and we know they have a strong-ish secondary. But bless you. So we know they have a stronger secondary. But like, they're still doing like Mims did pretty well, right? Like, I'm pretty heartened, man. I mean, like, the whole thing is, and like Peter Overzet and Packerin and I discussed this on ship chasing. This rookie wide receiver class is ridiculous, not just because of how deep it is, but how good it is, man. Yeah. I mean, like. The only guy who we haven't seen anything out of and probably might be Michael Pittman, right? Like as an early pick. Like, yeah. All these guys, like, who were picked early are doing just gangbusters.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, Sean wrote an article last week about how if you missed out on Claypool, you should try to get Mims as like an arbitrage, try to trade for him. And I mean, it's crazy to think that, you know, Mims could have the sort of impact Claypool has had so far. But, you know, I mean, at this point, seeing what every other rookie wide receiver has done, it's hard to believe that he, you know, it's hard to see him not having this kind of impact, given where he was taken in this class. So,
yeah, you know, I'm with you, man. Like, we might just look back on this like running back class and be like, what was everyone doing, right? Like, everyone's, it feels like, I wrote a little bit about this in one of my Zero RB columns before the season started. was that everyone's been chasing that 2017 running back class for so long now, but ignoring the true busts that have come from it, right? Like, could you imagine like drafting Keyshawn Vaughn ahead of most of the guys who went after him, like CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson, just like everyone, right? Like I would just like honestly consider quitting Dynasty at that point.
I'm happy to say I'm not one of the ones who was drafting Vaughn when he was getting into the first, even into the late first.
Or even the late second, man. I mean, just like you had to pass up on a lot of solid like wide receiver talent to do that.
That's true.
It was if you were doing that, honestly, like you should genuinely reconsider your dynasty philosophy and reconsider whether or not you're like cut out to play this. Like, really.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm still bullish on Vaughn. I still think Vaughn could be a useful fantasy player, but there is no way he's going to be a star in the league the way that like Claypool could, or Jefferson, or even maybe Mims could if he can build on his performance. I mean, you know, he just doesn't have that in his range of outcomes, I don't think. So, yeah, I'm with you. James Robinson rushed 22 times for 119 yards and a touchdown and caught 4 of 6 targets for 18 yards and a touchdown in the Jaguars' Week 7 loss to the Chargers.
I'm going with Breakout, man. I don't know what to say, right? Like J-God is the truth. And by the way, for anyone who calls him J-Rob, you're wrong. His actual nickname is J-God. Like, just watching him on that, like, Thursday night game, like, a few weeks ago, just against the Dolphins, where he was like leaning into contact, was a primary receiver, like just doing everything that Leonard Fournette did, but like almost kind of, like just the same way as Leonard Fournette did, and just, you know, given the lack of capital spent on him, what was he, like a seventh rounder?
I think he was undrafted.
Yeah, you're right. He was undrafted, and you know, just to peel back the curtain a little bit further, this is back in we were talking a little about the quad. This is a team that, James Robinson was someone that myself, Pete, and Pat also discussed in Ship Chasing, was, you know, this is a guy who we legitimately had a bid in on. We didn't bid enough. We wanted Bryce Love at the time, and we were just trying to take, you know, statistical shots on like open-ish backfields, and like we kind of expected the Jags to not yield a particularly good backfield. We thought Visca would steal some work, and he is. We thought Chris Thompson would be a little bit more involved, but we also expected Reichwell Armstead, you know, on the COVID list to actually play. Unfortunately, really sad news for him. I don't think he's going to be playing this season. I hope he gets well soon. And, you know, we expected a little bit of Divine Zigbo, and we didn't know if they were going to bring in a free agent. So, like, all this stuff was going on, and he went for, like, $3 in FFPC, which is, like, nothing, right? Yeah. Like just pathetic. And, like, he's putting up, like, I believe John Lipinski and Monty Fan, both of them, like, tried to get him on their main event teams. And J. God has just been, like, lights out. I mean, he's, like, a all-purpose bell cow, right? And, like, people are going to – he's going to go a little bit too high in redraft next season. But, like, from a sale perspective or anything, so, like, you just ride it out, man. I mean, the guy's putting up yards and totals. It doesn't matter, right? And he's, like, realistically kind of, like, their lead guy going forward. There's, like, he could be the next Chris Carson, right? Like –
Well, yeah, except with targets.
Right, and that's what makes him so exciting.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about how disappointing most of the rookie running backs have been in this class, apart from Swift. Robinson obviously was also a rookie, so where would you have him ranked, like if you were doing a rookie draft today, knowing, you know, what he's done and also that he's an undrafted free agent?
Probably like mid-second, maybe earlier than Akers. I don't know about that, right? Like, it depends on what you're like, what the Mason-Dixon line here is. But like a lot of the rookie wideouts need to be like shoved way up. Yeah. You got to push a lot of the running backs a little bit further down. And I'm trying to think a little bit on like where some of the other guys might fall and where you might want to consider the quarterbacks. But Like J-Rob was just sort of on waivers for the most part in a lot of leagues. And if you picked him up, man, like, kudos to you. And I'm sorry I called him J-Rob. I know it's J-God.
Yeah, I mean, you look at him and I mean, having a rookie breakout from an undrafted free agent like this, it's reminiscent of Philip Lindsay, who's maintained some of his value despite being an undrafted free agent. Except Robinson has actually been better because he's being used in the passing game. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a little, like, I tend to think that, well, actually we know from, I think, an article that Fantasy Douche wrote back in the day that draft position does have an impact on running back opportunity, even going into year two, even in year two. So undrafted free agents often are, their workload is a little more fragile than guys who are drafted early, mm-hmm. but still, given what Robinson's been able to do through 7 weeks, I think you have to look at him as being one of the top running backs in this class. I mean, you know, I might consider late first, mid first.
Yeah, but like after a lot of the rookie wideouts, right?
Well, yeah. But yeah. but before, definitely before Akers, I think, obviously before Vaughn.
Oh, yeah.
Before, I'm trying to think who else. Who are the other running backs? Probably not before Edwards-Helaire or Taylor.
Right, yeah.
I think they've been
right.
good, but...
Yeah, so those guys should probably go late first, early second. Like, you probably want CEH, JT, and then Dobbins.
Dobbins, right, that's it. I might have Robinson ahead of Dobbins now. Unless Dobbins can... Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, even if Mark Ingram goes away, maybe Dobbins gets that whole rushing workload and can become like a touchdown monster, even without a large passing role, but that's kind of... That situation's a little scary, too.
Albert Okwuegbunam caught 7 of 7 targets for 60 yards in the Broncos' Week 7 loss to the Chiefs.
This one is interesting. I think I'm going to go fake out on this one, even though I did like Albert O coming in to the season. I did like him as a prospect. And I think long-term, he's a really good asset. And obviously, he was great today. I mean, 7 of 7 targets. You know, Noah Fant is still there, still going to command targets. I think Judy had a pretty bad game today from an opportunity standpoint, as I recall. But you'd expect him to be a lot more involved. So... I don't think it's likely we see Alberto getting these kind of targets a lot going forward. But yeah, I don't know. Could be wrong. And I like him. I like him long term for sure. So I'm buying even after this performance. But I don't know that I'm expecting it to pay off this season. I don't know. What do you think?
No, I'm kind of with you. I think it's like, you know, Fant being hurt, Judy not looking particularly good. Like, I don't know what to say because a lot of these points came in, like, garbage time and stuff, right? Like, it's just hard to wrap my head around that a little bit. So, you know, I can't see him breaking out in the same way you can see, like, you know, Harrison Bryant doing it, right? Like,
Yeah, only because Bryant has kind of the opportunity from the injuries ahead of him. And obviously, you know, Sutton went down he's on the IR now. So there are more opportunities for guys to kind of come out of nowhere on this offense. But, you know, Judy had only 4 targets. Tim Patrick, I think he might have gotten hurt in this game. He had 4 targets, only 4. You would have expected more from him. Hamler had 3 targets. You're kind of still waiting for him to really have a sort of breakout performance. And Fant had 7 targets as well, which was good to see. But, yeah, I think in the future we'll see more of these, more opportunities going to a lot of the receivers. Kind of want to ask about Judy, though. Are you at all concerned after this performance?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think some of it's like lock related, but he also hasn't done much with anybody else. Like some of it's just like from a wide receiver, just from a quarterback perspective. Yeah, it's not the greatest or not the best in the world, but like I would be worried, man. Like they're not great. They're not looking great. He's just he. You know, he might actually be bad, right? Like he might not be like he might be one of the few wide receivers. I'm still holding out hope because we just don't know because of how bad Locke has been. But
right, yeah. I mean, what's interesting is he started off the season with 8 targets, 7 targets, 9 targets in the first 3 weeks, and then in the next 3 games over 4 weeks, 4 targets, 5 targets, 4 targets. So he's seen his you know, opportunity kind of evaporate a little. And obviously there were some quarterback changes in there. So it's hard to, you know, figure out exactly what's going on, but you never want to see a guy start out getting a lot of opportunity, especially a rookie, and then have it kind of fall off. So hopefully he'll get back to where he was to start the season, and then we'll see him actually produce more. But yeah, I'm a little worried too. Although, I mean, I think if I own him in Dynasty, and I do own him on a few Dynasty teams, I'm still holding. I'm not looking to get rid of him just yet. But you hope that this team can kind of make some more things happen and get more targets his way. I think it's me. Sorry. Yep. Justin Herbert completed 27 of 43 passes for 347 yards, 3 touchdowns, and added 66 yards and a touchdown on 9 carries in the Chargers' Week 7 win over the Jaguars.
Yeah, so this is a guy who is a little difficult to like really talk to him about like on a total perspective, but I do think I'm definitely leaning breakout with him. Devin McIntyre and I had like a pretty good back and forth about, you know, Herbert and his value and everything in the road of his slack. Herbert, unlike Burrow, actually has established a ceiling. And like, I know we came into the season expecting to be kind of poor, right? But from a points per game perspective, he's putting up quite a few points, right? Like he's putting up like those, you know, he gets you into those like the mid to high 20s. Like kind of has been like his MO. I can believe this was average points per game has been over the last handful of starts. It's really unfortunate that the injury to Tyrod Taylor has been really, really poor, poor timing. But as we had Kevin Cole on, like to start off like our pod, like, you know, way back when, he was mentioning that he doesn't think Taylor is a real threat anyway to Herbert, this season. And what's interesting is that like Herbert's making a ton of big plays, and that's also without Mike Williams really on the field, right? Like he's doing it with guys like Jalen Guyton and Donald Parham and just a whole bunch of like rando guys. Like he's elevating a lot of these also-rans or like, you know, guys that we don't consider to be particularly good. Virgil Green. So it's interesting to see him like elevate his supporting cast, and he also, you know, continues to feed Keenan Allen kind of relentlessly. I you know, just like from a scouting, like quarterback scouting perspective, like this is really interesting to me. And I think that it's kind of cool that he's also got some of that rushing, right? Like he, you know, tacked on 66 yards and a touchdown. So he kind of gives you like a bit of both what you want out of a fantasy quarterback. And I do think that like from a dynasty value perspective, I think him and Burrow should at least be considered equivalent. And I think, you know, like possibly, you know, even as Tua, right? And so, like, I do think that he is a particularly good quarterback. So it's interesting to see where he's going. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've been having this conversation about Herbert versus Burrow for a couple weeks now. Burrow was obviously really good today too, but I mean, with Herbert keeping this up, you're starting to look at his rookie season as being basically one of the best rookie quarterback seasons ever. You know, Deshaun Watson started hot with a lot of touchdowns, and apart from him, it's hard to, I mean, I'd have to look this up, but I don't know if there's another rookie quarterback who started with as many touchdowns in his rookie season in the first 7 weeks. So yeah, he's been awesome, obviously. And I don't know, I'm probably already moving Herbert ahead of Burrow just because he's been this good and he's been so consistent. And we'll obviously have to see how Tua looks next week. But, I mean, you know, it's hard to think that he would be able to play as well as Burrow has, or rather as Herbert has, just because of how good he's been. So, yeah, I'm already ready to move Herbert to, like, QB1 in this class.
Yeah, that's interesting because like I'm not there just yet, but I'm willing to see them on par, right? Like from a one quarterback perspective, right? Like you and I selected Burrow into our fairly early in a one QB high stakes fantasy league that we dynasty league that we all co-own, and really we should have just waited to like the fifth round and taken Herbert, right? Like we would have been better off had we just loaded up on other things. I'm trying to like pull up our draft board here, so we took. We took Chenault at 112, and we took who is the other guy that we took here? Trying to find it. No, we moved back.
We traded away.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we traded away for Landry and Tevin Coleman. How'd that work out for us?
Landry wasn't that bad today.
Yeah, right. We didn't start him, unfortunately. But yeah, so I do think that this is, we could have just waited, right? Because I'm scanning. Herbert went in round three after we picked Tua.
Yeah.
So, I think it's fine, right? Like, I do think that, like, I'm willing to move him up. Like, I think, and I do think that, like, he should be, like, at least both Burrow and Herbert should be ranked alongside Josh Allen as far as that goes, like, from a quarterback perspective.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Allen wasn't that good today.
Well, yeah, his stock should be on the decline, but like he's got like there's probably some inertia that keeps him up there, right?
Sure. I'm hesitant to make big moves after just one game, but yeah, I definitely think seeing Herbert do this as a rookie and doing it kind of every week, he's this good. That's a pretty strong signal.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire rushed 8 times for 46 yards and a touchdown and caught 1 of 4 targets for 17 yards in the Chiefs' Week 7 win over the Broncos.
I still have Edwards-Helaire as a breakout. He wasn't great today. Le'Veon Bell did get in the game, but he carried the ball 6 times and didn't get a single target, whereas Edwards-Helaire got 4. So I still think Bell's presence is not going to impact Edwards-Helaire as much as we maybe feared. So I still believe that he should be able to get to running back 2 without much trouble. I mean, this was a really weird game where, the Chiefs score 43 points and Mahomes only has 200 passing yards. Like, you're not going to see that again. So I think in future games where Kansas City's defense isn't so good and isn't scoring so much, you end up seeing Edwards-Helaire get more opportunity, more of the receiving work, and more fantasy points. So yeah, I'm not worried.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, like the script really went off center, and it just sort of doesn't matter, right? You just sort of throw this out. Edwards-Helaire, like for like everything else, has been pretty good, right? Like it's hard, like between him and Swift, it's kind of tough, right? Like those who are like the clear runaway RB1s and 2, and you can flip them in preference. I mean, like had Swift ended up on the Chiefs, who knows, right? Like he probably would be commanding like Saquon or CMC value right now. I'm kind of with you.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Edwards-Helaire is that until last week, I think, he hadn't been very efficient, but he had been still getting the opportunity, which is good to see. And, running back efficiency, I think, even more so than wide receiver efficiency, is, not all that sticky, especially on a week-to-week basis. So, if he continues to get most of the work, which I think he should, although, I guess there are some concerns that Le'Veon Bell will start to work in more, and he was kind of being used sparingly because it was really his first active week with the team. There are some of those concerns. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I don't know what to make of Bell, man. I mean, so, like, I know Bell's good. And I know that he's, he's probably excited to be here, and it's probably why he took such little money, just because it gives him a chance to rehab his image and everything else. From that perspective, I know, but like I just don't know how much work. I mean, I can see them like really giving Bell a little bit more work, like kind of spelling them. I don't know if it's going to be a 50-50 timeshare. It might be. Edwards-Helaire and then like Bell gets some of the mop-up work or whatever, but I don't think he's going to be that big of a drag. I mean, Bell's been like Bell's like putting up pretty solid numbers, stuff like you didn't see like today, like 6.5 yards mm-hmm. per carry, and that's like not something we would have seen on the Jets, but it's also like kind of a function of game script a little bit, right?
Yeah. Zach Moss rushed 7 times for 47 yards in Week 7 against the Jets.
This is interesting. So I added this one fairly late, so I don't think I got like the full Zach Moss. Yep, he also got 3 targets for 25 yards. Him and Singletary worked in a pretty much 50-50 timeshare against the Jets, and the Jets have a fairly stout run defense. And Moss lapped Singletary, man. Like just lapped him in both the rushing and the receiving game. I think he's earned a bigger role going forward. I could see him ending as an RB2, like a low-end RB2. Like nothing game-changing, but a good plug-and-play option if you need like 10, 11 points, man. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm in on Moss. I think he was the guy who, you know, obviously it was crazy taking Vaughn where he was going in some rookie drafts at some points in the season. But if you're looking for that kind of profile from a running back, I think Moss probably should have been the preferred running back. You know, not necessarily in the late first, but he was a steal in rookie drafts compared to where you could get Vaughn, and a nice value in redraft leagues too. So I own him on a lot of teams, and I'm definitely pretty excited about this stat line and looking forward to what he can do going forward. I think most weeks we'd expect the Jets' entire offense to be a little bit better. So should be more good things to come for Moss.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm with you. Like I'm optimistic on Moss going forward. Like I'm kind of excited. Like the fact that he was more productive as a receiver, you know, like, and on fewer targets, it's just, like, I think it just is like showing that Singletary might just not be the guy. And we've seen the Bills really just sort of go away from Singletary in games, right? Like, they just don't use him in, like, when they're trailing or anything. So, like, I think that, you know, Moss's time is coming soon.
All right, moving on to regular news item number 3. Scotty Miller caught 6 of 9 targets for 109 yards and a touchdown in the Buccaneers' Week 7 win over the Raiders. Although both Chris Godwin and Mike Evans were active, Miller led the Bucs receiving corps in total yards. So what are your thoughts on this whole wide receiver group going forward?
Yeah, it's pretty weird, right? You've got Evans, you've got Godwin, and it's Scotty Miller, a guy who Pat Corain wrote up for the site last year as yeah. emerging just as a bona fide, you know, superstar. Both him and Godwin both saw 9 targets. And Godwin turned, you know, caught all 9 of his and got 88 yards and a score. Here's what's messed up, right? What's going on with Evans? Because he only saw 2 targets and he caught them for, you know, both for 37 yards, no scores. But then Gronkowski saw 8 targets and Leonard Fournette saw 7. So what's going on here?
Yeah, and it was also the second week in a row that Evans had only 2 targets. Which I think last week was the first week Godwin was back, if I'm not mistaken. So it seems like, you know, despite the fact that Evans has been able to get some targets earlier in the season when he and Godwin are both on the field, and especially with Scotty Miller now emerging, yeah, I don't know. It seems like Evans' game maybe doesn't align as well with what Brady can do, which is kind of the concerns we had for Evans going into the season. And it seems like that might be what's going on here. So I'm definitely concerned for Evans going forward. What do you think will happen? Well, what do you expect Antonio Brown to, how's he going to fit in?
Man, like, that's interesting, right? Like, I don't know what he's going to do. We just haven't seen him for a while. He could be like AJ Green. Like, we just don't know. Yeah. Right? Like who's he gonna really take like target share from, right? Like, because Miller's clicking and like Godwin's clicking, like we can see them working him in. Like, I think part of the reason why he signed with them is because he can probably use it to rehab his image, but it's such a crowded receiver core that, like, I don't know. Like, maybe Evans is officially dust. Like Evans is, like, dynasty value. He just jumped in the tank and killed himself, right? But from an AB perspective, man, I don't know. Like, if you were holding him this entire time, like, I mean, maybe he have him in best ball. Like, it'll be interesting to see what happens, right? Like how relentless you target him, what are, like, AB's finishes. Like, he could just be a drag on everyone, but maybe this offense just really opens up and that, like Brady, like, becomes, you know, fulfills his, like, potential or whatever, like, that we thought he'd be in the preseason.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. I mean, we haven't seen Antonio Brown since he played one game last year for the Patriots with Brady, and he was decent. You know, I think he had 50-something yards on, I want to say, like, 8 targets or something and a touchdown, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, it's kind of like what they had for one game was working all right. But, yeah, it's hard to see. We already think that this is a crowded wide receiver room, especially with Scotty Miller emerging. You know, Evans already is having trouble getting targets, so I'm I just don't know what to make of this. I can't see Antonio Brown having a fantasy impact, really. Although I think it probably is not good news for Scotty Miller. I kind of think Godwin is still the most talented wide receiver on his team.
I think so as well. Like, I'm kind of with you in that he's, like, definitely the most talented of these guys. Like, I mean, you know, 9 for 9 for 88 is really impressive, especially with the score.
Yeah.
Jeff Wilson rushed 17 times for 112 yards and 3 touchdowns. He also caught both of his targets for 8 yards. The Niners' week 7 win over the Patriots. Unfortunately, Wilson was carted off the field after his 3rd touchdown, and the Niners fear he might have a high ankle sprain. In his absence, both Jamichael Hasty and Jerick McKinnon split carries. You know, who do you think emerges as the primary running back for the Niners until Raheem Mostert returns from IR?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of anyone's guess, right? Jerick McKinnon's usage this season has been pretty frustrating in a way. There were a few games where he was getting a lot of red zone work, he was getting a lot of targets, and then they just went away from him for seemingly no reason. In this game, Jamichael Hasty had 9 carries and turned him into 57 yards, and he also got a target, which he caught and converted for 16 yards. So, I mean, he looked pretty good. I would expect that they continue to use him more going forward. So I think if Hasty is someone who didn't get added in your league last week, you definitely want to make a move for him this week with Wilson out, because it looks like it's going to be, it looks like he's going to get the first shot at all the backfield touches here, which, I mean, it's just, yeah, I don't know. Can you explain this, how McKinnon has just kind of been entirely phased out?
Just didn't look that explosive after that 14 touch game. Maybe his, like, you know, knee is still acting up or something. Like, nothing in the receiving game, nothing in the rushing game is really unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Tevin Coleman, I believe, can return from IR next week. I wonder if he's healthy enough to go. He looked really poor before he got hurt, but we saw the Niners, like, absolutely commit to him and Raheem Mostert during the down the stretch last season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could see them turning the backfield back over to Devin, right? Like, I mean, like, what's his name? Shanahan thinks Devin's, like, really ridiculously talented, right? So who knows? I mean, Jeff Wilson, yeah, I mean, Jamichael Hasty he looked fine. But, like, the fact that he got, you know, outplayed and outcarried for, like, most of the game, it basically was back up to Jeff Wilson, who was activated off the practice. Like, was he activated off the practice squad today? I can't remember.
I don't think so. He's been playing every week, except for maybe week one. But yeah, Wilson was the guy who got, who Sean and I added in week 3, and he got a touchdown. So that was nice. And then we played him the next week and he had three carries for 6 yards and one catch for 13 yards. And then we dropped him and did not pick him back up in week 7. I don't even know if we would be allowed to, but yeah, we could have sure used his points today.
Yeah, he was inactive last week. I'm sorry, I confused the two, which is bad of me. So he was just an absolute mensch today, and you know, just being active. I mean, like, it should concern, I guess, if you're enthusiastic a little bit about JaMychal Hasty, that he's, you know, I mean, with Jeff Wilson Jr. active, he's running that far behind him. What's interesting to me, frankly, would be if Shanny is going to start using, you know, start handing off the wide receivers a little bit more. By that, I don't mean, oh, you can pencil in Debo and Ayuk for like 7 carries a game, but I mean, like, Debo saw 3 today, right? So, like, can you pencil in those guys for like anywhere between 1 to 3 each week?
Yeah, I think so. We know Shanahan likes to use his receivers in the running game. I mean, my kind of theory on what Shanahan is doing is he just wants to get a lot of players who are all copies of each other and can all do the same thing, and he can use them all in different ways, which in a way is smart because you can't, you know, the defense can't, like, can't get a lot from your formation or where people are lined up. So it's interesting, but he keeps drafting these kind of guys like Samuel Ayuk, who really function as kind of hybrid running back wide receiver types. So I think we should expect to see more rushing work from these guys.
I would have expected him to try and draft guys more like Julio Jones than these guys, but I mean, guess it works for whatever reason. I mean, like the Niners aren't a particularly great team, though, right? Like, we've seen just some horrific losses. They're, you know, like, them, the Rams, and the Cardinals are, like, behind the Seahawks in the division, and the Niners have, like, the worst in-division record. Like, they're 1-1 versus their own division, and their point differentials, yeah. I mean, I guess after today, it's a little bit better, but right. They're really kind of teeing off on teams that aren't particularly good. I mean, like the Rams and the Patriots. Like, the Patriots today were just so bad. Newton got benched, man. He went 9 of 15 for 98 yards. Like, that team, he looked so, so bad. Part of it is just, it's not his fault. I mean, look at what he's got. Like, his primary receiver is Jacoby Myers. Pathetic. And I mean, like, N'Keal Harry had to go to the locker room early. Right. They didn't use James White at all. This team's an absolute shell of itself.
Yeah, it's sad watching the Patriots in 2020. But who knows? They'll get an early pick maybe.
Just imagine seeing what's his name, Bill Belichick, with one of these like receivers. I don't think they're going to end up with like as high of a draft pick, but I think some of it just got to do with like Cam not having a good like receiving core. I think they might actually extend Cam, frankly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They're a team that you look ahead to the 2021 draft and think that they would definitely be in be looking for a receiver or more than one. All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Fantasy Football Report. Please remember to rate and review the RotoViz Radio channel on Apple Podcasts. For Hassan Rahim on Twitter at HRR5010. I'm Blair Andrews on Twitter at AmITheRealBlair. Thanks for listening.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.